This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Anytime we get to hear Dirty Bears. Frank on The Score and Bears, this is all coming together. I love it. And we are talking Bears and talking draft here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Out to The Score hotline we go, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Our friend Mark Grody joins us, our Bears reporter. And Grody, it had to be quite a weekend for you, and I know it was quite a weekend for the Chicago Bears, and lots of excitement surrounding this draft.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I mean, I think a lot of us had, when we were doing our mock drafts, well, I would say 100% of us had Caleb Williams as the number one pick. I would say three quarters of the Hallis Hall workroom, which I was a part of throughout this weekend, had them taking Roma Dunze at 9, even though we all kind of had anticipated this because of the breadcrumbs that a lot of us were hearing since the combine. It was still quite the stimulation when it actually happened. Even when Caleb Williams was actually drafted, that's still a moment. Having Roma Dunze at 9, that was still a big moment. So, yeah, I mean, this was one of the, on paper, one of the more important drafts in Bears history.
Yeah, and you can argue, and listen, I don't know that any of us saw the Falcon Michael Penix curveball coming at 8, but I don't know that Adunze doesn't make it past 8 if they don't do that. That was certainly fortuitous for the Bears.
Oh, yeah, the Michael Penix thing threw everybody off kilter. I mean, you got to have those weird little surprises in drafts. We've seen those historically. I'm one of the people that actually didn't hate that for Atlanta's sake. Yes, it was surprising. It defied conventional wisdom to some degree. But I look at them and you say that that's a pretty good product to have as your backup quarterback to Kirk Cousins. And just knowing how important the position is, I don't need to go into all of that. And, you know, Kirk Cousins 2-3 years down the road or whatever, you could start to think about Michael Penix. And I know the age is a concern to some people. But for Atlanta's sake, I mean, looking at it objectively and not just through a Bears lens, I didn't hate that as much. But, yes, certainly fortuitous for Ryan Poles, who may have moved up to get Roma Dunze if Ian Cunningham, his assistant and the assistant GM of the Bears, hadn't kind of held him back a bit.
Right. No, and actually, it's funny that you say that about Cousins and having Penix there as a plan and as a good move for the Atlanta organization, because it leads me kind of sort of in a way to the Packers and how they did that with Jordan Love and how he sat behind Rodgers. And then last year we saw year one of starting Jordan Love and how good he was. So my question to you, and this is, of course, just off of on the heels of this draft, but when you look on paper, Bears, Packers, Lions, Vikings, does this help the Bears win the division? There's some talent in this division.
Man, I can't guarantee that yet. Obviously, the Lions and the Packers have a big head start right now. As you said, somehow, some way, the Packers managed to work Jordan Love to perfection. And before that, quite frankly, Aaron Rodgers, because he also sat on the bench behind Brett Favre. So I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm not ready to say that the Bears are better than Detroit right now. in that division or better than Green Bay, just because it does look really good with those two top guys, you know, and Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, and then what you have with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore to add to your offense and some of the other draft picks that the Bears made, which I'm sure we're going to talk about as well. But yeah, I'm not ready to say that yet. I mean, look, Detroit's been building this thing. They got, you know, well into the playoffs this year to the NFC Championship game. So it's really hard to say that at this point, Mike.
No, it's a good debate. I enjoy throwing that out just because you think about it now, the quarterbacks in this division, and we're assuming J.J. McCarthy, who the Vikings drafted 10th overall, eventually probably quickly starts for them. I can't remember. Is it Nick Mullins they signed? They signed somebody with, Sam Darnold they signed kind of a bridge guy, right?
Yep.
But you figure eventually it's McCarthy at Minnesota, it's Love in Green Bay,
amazing,
it's Jared Goff in Detroit, and it's Caleb in Chicago. It's a great group of quarterbacks, and it makes it for a tough division, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy how fast the fortunes of the division of the NFC North have turned here right now. And you have to, like, going back to your previous question about where the Bears stand in the division right now, they are doing what they have to do to compete in that division all of a sudden and kind of match wits with the rest of the team. And I know that that's not necessarily what was on their brains, because there was a clear path to Caleb Williams and apparently Rome Odunze as well. But now, if you want to play in this division, yeah, you best have an offense and sturdy things up. The good thing about the Bears is if this offense is what we think it is capable of being, and there aren't too many growing pains for Caleb Williams, which there will be, you know, the Bears have probably the best defense in the division. So they've got the head start in that regard. So, you know, we're all obsessed with offense, as we should be. I love the way the Bears were drafting, you know, going hardcore offense in the first three picks. And you could even throw Torrey Taylor in there if he's going to pin some guys down pretty strong. But the Bears, if they can have a representative offense to put with the defense, which we just haven't seen much with the Bears historically, that'd be something that a lot of Bears fans have never seen before.
Talking to Mark Grody, our Bears reporter here on 670 The Score. It's Mike Esposito till 3, and we're talking about the draft. And we will, I definitely want to get to each draft pick with you, Grody, but I want to ask you one more question about the top two, because it's so much about them. You've gotten to hear from them now. You've gotten to hear their post-draft interviews, and I'm sure you will be getting lots more to hear from them. But, and again, I'm not there. I'm not at Hallis Hall. This is merely as an observer, but it really seems that Caleb and Rome Odunze, I know they've worked out together, but it seems like they have a very good working rapport with each other. Is that accurate?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they seem like they're going to be fast friends. You know, they knew of each other, competed against each other, had interacted with each other, but now is a chance for those two to become close together. You know, on their opening day press conference out at Hallis Hall, of which I was a part, you know, they Caleb got up there and spoke first, but then he sat down in the media room with the rest of us and watched Rome Odunze's press conference. And, you know, those two are talking about each other. And then, you know, we had an opportunity, the Bears PR staff and not to mention Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams were nice enough to accommodate a group of reporters out there, of which, again, I was a part, and we were literally just sitting in a circle with those guys, maybe about 10 of us or so in the workroom. So those two, again, they played off each other. Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze played off each other really well during that. So it's going to be fun to watch the chemistry build with these two. I mean, it's ideal. It looks so pretty on paper. You know, we got to see this thing in motion, but you have the quarterback, you've got the young receiver, you've got the veteran receivers in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, not only veteran receivers, but great receivers who can both produce 100 or 1,000 plus yards in a snap.
Absolutely. No, and I keep, you know, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself or get over my skis or, you know, insert your cliche there. But Keenan Allen, before he got hurt at the end of last year, was leading the league in catches. We saw firsthand what DJ Moore did last year. We saw firsthand what Rome Odunze did in college last year. It's like, how do you not get excited about this passing game? And Caleb Williams is your quarterback.
Oh, yeah. And then another thing, too, Mike, is it puts everything in perspective in terms of the rest of the room. Like the wide receiver room, when this year ended, it's kind of a nightmare, to be honest with you. I mean, it was DJ Moore and fill in the blank. I mean, mm-hmm. I think your second leading receiver was Cole Kmet this year.
It was, yep.
Yeah. So we know that Velus Jones Jr. is not working out. You do have Dante Pettis on the roster and Tyler Scott. So now all of a sudden, somebody like Tyler Scott, you can live with and say, okay, he had a rough rookie year. And I even before any of this, I wasn't giving up on Tyler Scott. That guy has got tools and he may still be the fastest receiver on the roster. But now this puts your depth chart in perspective. And if Tyler Scott works out now, that's a big time bonus. You know, we know Dante Pettis is going to be there to return punts, and I don't even know if Velus Jones Jr. is going to make this roster, but all of a sudden you can live with a little bit of development at the end of the roster and on the depth chart with some of these guys, especially in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, and if Tyler Scott is my four, absolutely zero problem with that. If he's your two, yeah, you probably have a problem with that, right? But it's exactly as you just broke it down. And I'm interested to see, I'm excited to see how this offense plays out. But let's, as we said, let's go over the draft picks. And I'm actually going to go in reverse order here because we haven't really talked at all about the guy they traded back into the draft in the fifth round, 144th overall, Kansas edge rusher Austin Booker. I did see a video of him on Twitter having his way with the Packers first rounder and offensive tackle Jordan Morgan from Arizona. But Austin Booker, Kansas edge rusher, a position of need from the Bears, played outside linebacker, but I think he projects as an end, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is your classic value pick at 144 overall. It's an, as you said, Mike, it's a need. So Austin Booker out of Kansas, some interesting things about him. First of all, the size. I mean, 6'4", 240. Poles was raving about his length, so they're definitely looking at some of the physical tools that Austin Booker has. He had 8 sacks last year, 12 tackles for loss, only started once. So he made the most of his time getting into the game. So we're going to have to see if he's a guy that they put in special situations to get to the quarterback, but I don't know how much they're going to be depending on him right away. Some had projected him as a third-round pick, and the comp that they put next to him, and we're not going to say that this is who this is going to be, but Max Crosby is the comp, so that would tell you that Austin Booker has a high motor. That's really where I think that they get the Crosby comp.
No, and right. And obviously, as a guy that's picked in the fifth round, you know he's not a finished product by any means, but his tools are there. He has a high motor. I mean, all the various different terms that draft nicks like to throw around, but it certainly sounds like, obviously, they traded a fourth-round pick next year to get back in to draft Booker, so certainly a guy they expect to give them something this season.
Yeah, no doubt, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, there's probably going to be a few other, obviously, edge rushers that'll end up on the roster in training camp and maybe even through rookie free agency as well, so we're going to see about that. But one of the things I've been thinking about a lot, Mike, is who else that's on the roster needs to step up to help Montez Sweat? Because you're going to get production out of Montez Sweat. The guy that I've been talking about encircling, who I think can have a bigger season this year, maybe even just straight up big season, is DeMarcus Walker. DeMarcus mm-hmm. Walker was banged up in camp last year. I remember him struggling to get his footing in the first three games. I even remember talking to him about it. He didn't want to make excuses about it. But DeMarcus Walker had a stumbly start to his career with the Bears, some of it because of injury. As the season went on, he simply did not produce enough. But DeMarcus Walker has it in him. The previous year with Tennessee, he had 8 sacks, which was a career high. So, I mean, I think the Bears have projected that he was an on-the-rise player, but they really need him to step up because I don't know that maybe Dominique Robinson, all of a sudden the development occurs, but it's, you know, so far it's been a rough go for somebody like Dominique Robinson. But I have DeMarcus Walker circled this year as a veteran that I'm going to be paying very close attention to.
I like that, Mark, and I tend to agree with you. We're talking to Mark Grody, our Bears reporter, for a few more minutes here On the score, let's go to the third round pick, Mark. You talk about size and you talk about, you know, the football measurables, whatever you want. 6'5", 325, offensive tackle, another position in need. Karan Amagaj. Let me try this again. Amagide. I said it fine when we had his high school.
Amagaji. Amagaji.
Thank you. I said it correctly. I said it correctly the entire first hour. Amagaji. Sorry, Karan. I'm sure that is not the first time that has happened, but I practiced too, Grody. I practiced
before
the show.
I know. Hey, everybody gets like a day or two's worth of practice, and then after that, no excuses. So I'll allow for it right now.
There you go.
Amagaji. Yes. Amagaji.
Holy cow. Backwards, that's got to be something. No, but
Here's one for you. Roma Dunze spelled backwards is Devin Aroma should do.
Unlock me! Unlock me!
I wonder what Dr. Kimball thinks about that. That's something right there.
Adunze!
He switched the samples.
Amagaji!
Bears. Amagaji. Yeah, Bears. Well, he is now on the Bears, but you talk about, and I think people are thinking, well, is he going to beat out Braxton Jones? Because he's a left tackle, but he's really, same thing I've heard about him that we talked about, Booker. Raw, toolsy, a guy that you can build on and that will get better. But 6'5", 325, you can't teach, played left tackle. I think he projects eventually, maybe not immediately, as a starting left tackle in the league.
Yeah, Ryan Poles was pretty careful about the way he characterized Amagaji's potential role on this team this year. He first said, Poles did, that he's here to compete. Then he said, probably not competing with Braxton Jones yet. So that doesn't completely rule it out, but it tells me that the rough draft blueprint is to have this guy, as you said, to be a swing tackle on this team. And look, if he comes and blows everybody away in camp and he can replace Braxton Jones, then that's fine. But, you know, Braxton Jones probably still has another level that he can get to. So it doesn't sound like in Ryan Poles' mind that Amagaji is ready to start yet, but I think that's certainly in his future. And I really am starting to like what Ryan Poles is doing with the offensive line. I'm very comfortable with the starters that they have. Obviously, you need a center. But then you're starting to have a nice bench with some of these guys like Jatari Carter, Larry Borum. We'll see if he becomes vulnerable because he was kind of the swing tackle. Matt Pryor is on this roster as well, a veteran that stands 6'7", by the way. So it's really good, I think, what the Bears are doing with their offensive line.
I agree. And you know what? You mentioned center. So let's very quickly dive into that. Is Bates a center? Is it Coleman Shelton? I mean, both guys are new for the team this year. How do you see that playing out? Or is this a position where you think they'll add even more guys? Doug Kramer also on the roster.
Yeah, you know, I've got a soft spot for Doug Kramer, the local kid. He's got an automatic 7 Bears in my book, but I don't think.
And he's an Illini, my friend.
Oh yeah, of course, that's the number one reason. But yeah, the Bears have not acted like a team that is interested in getting Doug Kramer out there. I mean, when there was opportunities at center last year, when that was such a disaster at times, and my guy Doug Kramer couldn't sniff anything on the field, that told me that while they liked him enough to have him in the locker room, it doesn't seem like they're going out of their way to develop him as far as an actual player. But to answer your question, I have no idea, Mike. I am just as curious as you are about this. You know, the Coleman Shelton has had more experience playing the center position, but Ryan Poles loves Bates. We know that he's been trying to get him since 2022,
right?
When he thwarted the Bears and stayed with the Buffalo Bills. Or I should say the Buffalo Bills matched the offer sheet that the Bears made to him. Ryan Poles got a thing for Ryan Bates, so it's possible that he is the center, but I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a straight-up competition, but I would think that in an era where you're bringing in this rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, you'd probably want to have as much uniformity from the time that OTAs start until the first game of the regular season.
Grody, as we let you go, we appreciate your time. The last pick we have to talk about, Bears. Certainly one of the most interesting, The punter, the crocodile punter, as we've talked, Torrey Taylor, soon to be Chicago legend with his maniacal punting skills.
When I was asked, Mike, yesterday, I was on the air a little bit before the Bears made this pick. I was on the special Mully and Haw show yesterday that had Patrick Manley on as well. They asked me about the fourth round pick, and my answer was, yeah, of course they need help at, you know, on the defense at this point, having just drafted another offensive guy in Amagaji. So my thought was, yeah, that makes sense. But I said to those guys, you know, have some fun with this pick. Your draft is made with what you did with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, and it was a shrewd pick with Amagaji as well. But my thought was, go get your favorite player. Go get the guy that you think can help you right away. You could just kind of relax, take a deep breath, and have a little fun. Now, when they did draft Torrey Taylor, the Iowa punter, I think I was like a lot of people like, huh? You drafted a punter? You got to be kidding me. But then I settled myself down, took a few deep breaths, did a little bit of yoga, and realized after having done the research on Torrey Taylor, and I, like so many people in Chicago, know a lot of Iowa people or people who went to Iowa.
Yep.
And they all love this guy. And, you know, 6'4", 223, a Ray Guy Award winner for the nation's top punter, set the NCAA record for single-season punting yardage, which wasn't really good because, Iowa had a terrible offense. So he has so much experience out there. And Ryan Pohl said straight up, one of the best punters I've ever seen. So what a year for the Bears, where you've got generational quarterback potentially a generational wide receiver. And is the generational player on the Bears actually the punter? Like, we're selling you a bill of goods on the quarterback and the receiver. Torrey Taylor, the punter, that's your generational player right there, Espo.
Are you being serious with your question?
I now have to apologize for something.
Please do.
On Friday night, and this is late night, so hopefully, you know, that we didn't have as big of an audience to hear what we did. We had a caller, and Sears might even be able to find it at some point in time, but we had a caller, Hub and I did, who called in and suggested that the Bears take a punter. And he may have said with a third-round pick, Hub and I, of course, laughed him off the radio. So I apologize to that caller and anybody who was fighting for Torrey Taylor in the fourth round for the Bears.
They switched the samples.
They switched the samples, but I've come to grips with it in every way, shape, or form. Deep breathing exercises. It's all good.
Well, Grody, let me tell you this. We had the Iowa special teams coach, LeVar Woods, on at 1 o'clock. And not only was he texting Brian Urlacher about this pick, but he also said...
Yeah, what was up with that? I heard that. How does he know Lacker? What's the dealio there?
He was a co-captain at Iowa with Ant Aaron, which I didn't know. And he also was in Bears camp, which is how he knows Brian Urlacher.
Ah, okay.
Now, how about that? I see we're learning all kinds of things this morning or this afternoon.
That blew me away. I'm like, of all the people that Brian Urlacher has a connection with, it's the special teams coach at Iowa. Okay, that's cool.
Fair. But he said, because I specifically asked him, I said, is that too early to take a punter? He said, no. He said, third round even. I'm like, really?
We'll find out,
that's
man.
What he said.
I mean, this could be an organizational revelation. If the Bears finally have, you know, a star punter, and I'm not saying that people have been starving for, like, oh, for the days of Maury Buford, man. Oh. Adam Podlitz. I don't think that the Bears
my
have
God.
Been thirsting for a great punter, but what the hell? Now you have one. Why not?
You sometimes like to come on here and just kind of make waves, whatever. I get what you're doing.
I'm not doing anything, Les, and it sounded more and more like there's not going to be an AH on the helmets, Arlington Heights. Don't worry, Les. I got this for you up there in heaven, Grobber. The Bears will play in Chicago.
I was there.
He was absolutely there. I have the LeVar Woods timeline here for you, Grody. He was in camp with the Bears, in 2005, which is how he knows Brian Urlacher.
Okay.
So how about that?
Wait, so was he playing?
He was at Iowa. He was a player at Iowa.
Yeah.
Graduated Arizona Cardinals 2001 to 2004. 2005, he was in camp with the Bears.
So he was a player with the Bears trying to make the team.
Trying to make the team, did not make the team.
Oh, okay.
And then he played with Detroit and Tennessee, and then he started coaching at Iowa right after, almost immediately after his playing career. And as we also learned during our interview, he and Aunt Taryn stood up in each other's weddings. So there's that. We have all kinds of information that we got from LeVar Woods this afternoon.
I love draft week. It's where all these circles take place. And, you know, you've got, we didn't even mention Amagaji being a Hinsdale Central guy.
Correct.
So, by the way, for people who want Amagaji, automatic 7 Bears, the rest is on him.
Yeah. Well, he is. I enjoyed I'm sure you saw it, the video of the Ryan Poles phone call to him. Hey, are you in Hinsdale? Yes, I am, sir. And then the family just goes nuts when it's revealed that the team drafting him is the Bears. I can only imagine
how
fun that is.
Yeah, like, because that's one of those cases where there's really, you know, there's really no indication. I'm sure that he had heard good things about the Bears, but there's no way they know that the Bears are calling his name right there.
No, none. And you know what? Listen, it's wonderful. The Bears actually have, when you consider him, your guy Doug Kramer, TJ Edwards, Cole Kmet, they have a lot of Chicago guys, which is also fun. Grody, I can't believe this, and yeah, I've kept you way long, and we appreciate it.
It's all good.
This could be a very Bearsy year for us, I think. It would be very Bearsy.
It's always a Bearsy year, Mike.
I know, but I mean, like, an exciting, like, fun Bearsy year. Like,
hey,
not
man,
a bad Bearsy year.
I am looking forward to it. I know a lot of my colleagues who have been on the beat a lot longer than I have, who are thirsting for the Bears to comport themselves like a big boy organization. It appears that they are heading in that direction. I was lucky enough to start my Bears covering, or being just a beat guy for the Bears in 2018, when you had that pop-up spectacular season by the Bears, which ended horribly. So, and you know, they weren't horrible the next year either. So at least I've, had a little bit of it within the last, and we all have within the last 10 years. But yeah, this appears to be for the first time in a while, again, on paper, sustainable, as opposed to,
right.
Oh my God, the Bears just had a 12-win season. You know, it seems like we've had those pop-up seasons every single year. Dick Geron had a 13-win season. Dave Wanstead back in the day had a 12-win season. And all of these years were followed by flops. And you could even go to 2018, where the next year was a relative flop, considering how much we had built up what they potentially could do, even after the Super Bowl. So yeah, it's nice to see something that actually has the appearance of being sustainable.
Grody, we appreciate you. We love having you on. And Dick Geron came up earlier because we were talking about Yale. So Dick Geron came up. So there
Dick
you go.
Geron!
Dick Geron. And I mistakenly placed Dan Jiggetts at Yale instead of Harvard, and that was my bad. As you said, we love draft week here.
Well, hold on a second. I'll give you my guy, and he wasn't a draft of the Bears, but he was on the Bears for a while. One Dieter Iceland.
Yes.
Iceland. I guess we put the D. Dieter Iceland was my guy, because when I was working the Bears sidelines, Dieter Iceland was always there working on his snapping. He was just he was a workhorse. So
Bears.
If that is setting the precedent for Yale, I can tell you that Karan Amagaji is going to have a great work ethic, because that's just the way those Yale guys are.
Bears.
And we can never forget Gary Fensick, my friend.
Of course, Gary Fensick. Yeah, he's the original. He's the right now. He's the best of the bunch, as far as I'm concerned, ever.
Absolutely. Grody, we appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Bye. Bears.
Bears. Mark Grody talking Bears with us here on The Score. We kept Grody far too long because we were having fun there at the end. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, until the end of three, we are all about you, the Bears fan. 312-644-6767. Give us a call. Your feedback, your thoughts, your comedic thoughts as well on the Bears and Grody and all the stuff that we've been talking about here. We're having a fun draft show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mike.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What do you think about the Bears possibly spending their next pick on Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa? He was the best offensive player Iowa had last year, and they could use an upgrade at the punting position.
Yeah, the punting position did get a little bit shady, I will say that, but they just drafted that punter. What did he go? Yeah, he was in the 2022 draft. He was in Ryan Poles' first draft, Trenton Gilley, seventh rounder for the Bears.
I guess the only thing I would say about that, you do not need to spend a fourth round pick on a punter.
Yeah, that's the better thing to say about that.
You can get all kinds of good punters, and you don't have to do it in the fourth round. It's kind of like Michael Penix all over again.
So that was from Friday night. That's Mark Grody, our last guest, and Hub Arkish. That was the caller that Grody referred to when we were interviewing him. And they were quickly proven wrong the next day by Ryan Poles, who took Torrey Taylor in the fourth round. So thank you, Sean Sears, for digging that one out. Thank you for listening. It's Mike Esposito here on The Score. Another half hour or so before we are off at 3 o'clock. And then, again, Cubs baseball. They are the Sunday night baseball game tonight. Matt Spiegel will have the pregame show for you at 5:35. And then Zach and Ron will have the call of the game for you at 6:10 from Fenway Park in Boston. So we have a few more Bears segments to do, and we want to talk to you. 312-644-6767 is our number. Up first on the caller, on the score lines here is Jim in Beecher. Hey, Jim, you're up next.
Good afternoon, guys. Nice show. Nice show.
Thank you, Jim.
The reason I called was relative to the Caleb Williams pick. I go back a long way, meaning I remember watching Rudy Bukic and Bill Wade play quarterback. Okay.
Oh my.
So
yeah.
With that as a backdrop, the Chicago Bears franchise has never, ever, ever shown an infrastructure to be able to develop a quarterback. Okay. Now, everybody under God's creation knows about Caleb Williams. Scouting report, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I will remain very skeptical. I hope everybody is right. Don't get me wrong. But until I see this production on the field, much like guys on your station have even said, he's walking into a better situation than C.J. Stroud did at Houston.
Sure.
Well, 4,000-plus yards later, touchdowns, very few interceptions. We'll see. It's the Bears and their lack of infrastructure all these years. I will be skeptical, and I'll believe it when I see it.
Jim, appreciate that. And I couldn't agree with you more. And we did say, listen, we are obviously, I say we as a Bears fandom, I think, very excited by what the Bears have done. But 100% correct. It has to be proven on the field. And in doing draft research and research for the show, and you know, you look back at quarterbacking, and Lord knows I've lived 51 years of it myself, but you go back to literally Sid Luckman, who was drafted in 1939. The United States of America had not even entered World War II the last time the Bears drafted a franchise quarterback. That is 85 years ago. So I'm with you, Jim. I'm totally with you. Let's see it on the field. But for the first time, literally, in 85 years, this just might be a franchise quarterback. With apologies to Jim McMahon, who had his moments, but really, I mean, he was never a franchise quarterback long term. He had the brief stint there where the Bears were great, mainly because of the defense. McMahon was good. Also, McMahon was very injured. And certainly nothing like what we would be looking at if Caleb Williams pans out. But literally, Sid Luckman, 1939. That is amazing. And we heard, We heard Rome Odunze already talk about the Bears receiving stuff, so we'll leave that. But Jim and Beecher, thank you for the call. Next up on the phones, 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Jack in Arizona talking Bears and talking draft here on The Score. Hey, Jack.
How you doing?
Good, Jack.
Hello? Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was born in 1939.
So there you go.
I saw Sillutman play in Wrigley Field. Oh, yeah. So, and like, I'll be 85 in December. And me and Mike Ditka are two months apart. So I might be old, but I look a lot younger. I am, seriously. Anyways, the reason I'm calling is what was the grade on their draft?
What is the grade on their draft? Are you talking about a specific like rating, like a specific network service or draft rating or whatever? I mean, listen, I know the first two picks are A-plus home run, right? The rest of the whole draft, I don't know. I know a lot of people were skeptical of taking the punter in the fourth round.
The last I saw, Ryan, ESPN had a B-minus for the Bears as the draft as a whole.
Okay. So, Jack, to answer your question, and we appreciate the call, I know the first two picks were roundly applauded. Williams and Odunze, I don't know that it could have gone better for the Bears in terms of how that laid out. And we'll go over that in the next segment, actually. People were skeptical of the next two picks in terms of when they were taken. I know Ryan Poles came out and said that Karan Amagajide was the next guy on their board. Amagaji, sorry about that. I keep messing up the name after getting it right all day. Amagaji was the next guy on their board, the offensive tackle from Yale. Torrey Taylor, we all know, listen, everyone knows, we just talked about it with Grody. He was the best punter in the nation. He was one of the better players on that Iowa team in general, a team that struggled offensively. And then you traded back in for the edge rusher. So I think the B-minus grade from ESPN is more to do with A, a lack of picks, and B, skepticism for their secondary picks. But certainly the first two picks are two, as Ryan Poles would call them, blue players, star players, potential star players, in terms of how things went on day one, Thursday night, in the first round of this draft. We have more callers to get to. Steven in South Carolina. Everybody else, please hang on. We will get back to you in a moment. We have to take a quick timeout and back with more Bears talk next. Here, it's Mike Esposito with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Caleb, you touched on those growing pains a little bit, but kind of everywhere you've gone, you have the confidence that you are the best. Do you come in here expecting to be great right away?
Yeah, why wouldn't I? Obviously, if there's growing pains, you know, you handle them, but that doesn't mean that you know, affects your greatness. There's trials and tribulations that you go through. You know, why would I go somewhere, work so hard for so many years? I mean, in every situation that I go to, believe I'm the best, and then, you know, I get here and I don't believe that. You know, that doesn't mean that I go around and boast. It doesn't mean that I go around and, you know, and say that. But the way I handle my work, the way I carry myself every day, how I treat my friends, families, teammates, the faculty, you know, the executives here, the custodians, whatever the case may be, treat everybody, you know, as they are. We're all equal, and everybody should think that they're the best when you do things and you work so hard for stuff.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, and I am convinced the more that people hear from Caleb and get to know Caleb, he's going to be a beloved Bear. I think, you know, we saw it with Justin Fields. You come in here and you play the right way and you do the right things, and the fans are going to love you. I think the fans are going to love Caleb Williams. He certainly has that confidence, that bravado, but he also backs it up with some humility. You kind of heard that too there, right? I mean, he is a very level-headed kind of guy. He's a guy who was built for this, right? He's been under the microscope since I don't know what age, but certainly since high school football. And then very successful at Oklahoma, Heisman Trophy winner at USC, first overall pick in the draft. Coming into a situation with lots of pressure, certainly, but as you said, he's expecting success. Lots of expectations here, and he is running to that, not running away from that. Last thing I wanted to do, look, we have a few minutes left here before we have to be out of here, and I wanted to go over because the way this draft played out, and if you were watching, you certainly know, it was offense, offense, offense. The first defensive player off the board was the UCLA edge rusher Leitu at 15, and then Byron Murphy and Dallas Turner went quickly after that. But the first 14 picks were offense, and I love this especially, not only because, and Grody and I talked about this, I don't disagree with the Michael Penix draft pick by Atlanta, because, yes, the Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins. Yes, they gave him a lot of money. Most of that is guaranteed in the first 2 years. And as we have seen, I mean, Lord knows we've seen it here in Chicago, quarterback is such an important position. The Packers, who have done it right for my whole second half of my lifetime here, ever since Brett Favre, they draft, develop, hold, and then advance, right? Brett Favre was the starter. They draft Rodgers. Rodgers sat for, I don't know, 3 years, comes in, Hall of Fame career. Obviously, a lot of that is on the skill level. But they did the same thing with Jordan Love. And I know fans were getting a little antsy with that situation. I think Love was getting a little antsy with that situation. But after all of his time on the bench, Love comes in last year. Guess what? Pro Bowl quarterback for the Packers. Another one. So I don't disagree with the Penix move. But my point in talking about the Michael Penix pick at 8 is that this draft played out pretty much exactly how you thought it would. Williams, Daniels, Drake May up top. Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4 to Arizona. That was in most of the mock drafts that I saw and probably most of the ones that you saw. Jim Harbaugh at 5, listen, no surprise at all that he took an offensive tackle, the best one in the draft, Joe Alt. At 6, the Giants were a wild card. People thought maybe quarterback. They took Malik Nabers, one of the other wide receivers at the top of the draft, that Harrison, Nabers, and Roma Dunze that were looked at as the top guys. So the Giants say, you know what? We've got Daniel Jones. We're kind of stuck with him for this year. Let's go Malik Nabers. They must not have loved any of the other quarterbacks. Tennessee, another team, based on how they're put together and who their coaching staff is. Offensive line, no surprise. I get it. J.C. Latham from Alabama. So that leaves, at the 8 pick, Atlanta. If Atlanta doesn't take Penix, I mean, to me, they probably then would take Adunze or trade the pick to somebody who needs a quarterback. In the end, what they did surprised everybody, but they end up with Michael Penix Jr., quarterback who they loved. It left Adunze on the board at 9. It left J.J. McCarthy on the board after the Bears took Adunze, and the Vikings trade up with the Jets to take McCarthy at 10. The Jets fall back one and take the tackle from Penn State at 11. Bo Nix, now there's talk about a wild card. Sean Payton and the Broncos at 12. See how this Bo Nix thing works out. He was the pick at 12. And then Brock Bowers, the stud tight end from Georgia. Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State, goes to New Orleans at 14. Anyway, that's my long-winded way of saying that the Bears were fortunate that Roma Dunze fell to them, and we can thank the Atlanta Falcons and Michael Penix Jr. for that. A lot of thank yous for our show today. Thanks to our guests, Mark Grody, LeVar Woods, the special teams coach at Iowa. We also talked to Brian Griffin, the head coach at Hinsdale Central. Our thanks to all of the callers and texters. We really appreciate it. We've had a ton of fun doing this. And thanks especially to Sean Sears, our fantastic producer, for putting this all together. Appreciate that, Sean. Coming up later today on The Score at 5:35, we will have Cubs pregame for you. Cubs and Red Sox are the night game today. Matt Spiegel has your pregame at 5:35 and followed by Cubs and Red Sox with Zach and Ron. Infinity Sports Network is next. It's been a pleasure talking Chicago Bears football with you. I'm Mike Esposito. We'll talk to you soon here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it.
The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Zito on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Caleb, you touched on those growing pains a little bit, but kind of everywhere you've gone, you have the confidence that you are the best. Do you come in here expecting to be great right away?
Yeah, why wouldn't I? Obviously, if there's growing pains, you know, you handle them, but that doesn't mean that you know, affects your greatness. There's trials and tribulations that you go through. You know, why would I go somewhere, work so hard for so many years? I mean, in every situation that I go to, believe I'm the best, and then, you know, I get here and I don't believe that. You know, that doesn't mean that I go around and boast. It doesn't mean that I go around and, you know, and say that. But the way I handle my work, the way I carry myself every day, how I treat my friends, families, teammates, the faculty, you know, the executives here, the custodians, whatever the case may be, treat everybody, you know, as they are. We're all equal, and everybody should think that they're the best when you do things and you work so hard for stuff.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, and I am convinced the more that people hear from Caleb and get to know Caleb, he's going to be a beloved Bear. I think, you know, we saw it with Justin Fields. You come in here and you play the right way and you do the right things, and the fans are going to love you. I think the fans are going to love Caleb Williams. He certainly has that confidence, that bravado, but he also backs it up with some humility. You kind of heard that too there, right? I mean, he is a very level-headed kind of guy. He's a guy who was built for this, right? He's been under the microscope since, I don't know what age, but certainly since high school football. And then very successful at Oklahoma, Heisman Trophy winner at USC, first overall pick in the draft. Coming into a situation with lots of pressure, certainly, but as you said, he's expecting success. Lots of expectations here, and he is running to that, not running away from that. Last thing I wanted to do, look, we have a few minutes left here before we have to be out here, and I wanted to go over, because the way this draft played out, and if you were watching, you certainly know, it was offense, offense, offense. The first defensive player off the board was the UCLA edge rusher Leitu at 15, and then Byron Murphy and Dallas Turner went quickly after that. But the first 14 picks were offense, and I love this, especially not only because, and Grody and I talked about this, I don't disagree with the Michael Penix draft pick by Atlanta, because, yes, the Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins. Yes, they gave him a lot of money. Most of that is guaranteed in the first 2 years. And as we have seen, I mean, Lord knows we've seen it here in Chicago, quarterback is such an important position. The Packers, who have done it right for my whole second half of my lifetime here, ever since Brett Favre, they draft, develop, hold, and then advance, right? Brett Favre was the starter. They draft Rodgers. Rodgers sat for, I don't know, 3 years, comes in, Hall of Fame career. Obviously, a lot of that is on the skill level. But they did the same thing with Jordan Love. And I know fans were getting a little antsy with that situation. I think Love was getting a little antsy with that situation. But after all of his time on the bench, Love comes in last year. Guess what? Pro Bowl quarterback for the Packers. Another one. So I don't disagree with the Penix move. But my point in talking about the Michael Penix pick at 8 is that this draft played out pretty much exactly how you thought it would. Williams, Daniels, Drake May up top, Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4 to Arizona. That was in most of the mock drafts that I saw, and probably most of the ones that you saw. Jim Harbaugh at 5. Listen, no surprise at all that he took an offensive tackle, the best one in the draft, Joe Alt. At 6, the Giants were a wild card. People thought maybe quarterback. They took Malik Nabers, one of the other wide receivers at the top of the draft, that you know, Harrison, Nabers, and Roma Dunze that were looked at as the top guys. So the Giants say, you know what? We've got Daniel Jones. We're kind of stuck with him for this year. Let's go Malik Nabers. They must not have loved any of the other quarterbacks. Tennessee, another team, based on how they're put together and who their coaching staff is, offensive line, no surprise. I get it. J.C. Latham from Alabama. So that leaves, at the 8 pick, Atlanta. If Atlanta doesn't take Penix, I mean, to me, they probably then would take Odunze or trade the pick to somebody who needs a quarterback. In the end, what they did surprised everybody, but they end up with Michael Penix Jr., quarterback who they loved. It left Odunze on the board at 9. It left J.J. McCarthy on the board after the Bears took Odunze, and the Vikings trade up with the Jets to take McCarthy at 10. The Jets fall back one and take the tackle from Penn State at 11. Bo Nix, now there's talk about a wild card. Sean Payton and the Broncos at 12. See how this Bo Nix thing works out. He was the pick at 12. And then Brock Bowers, the stud tight end from Georgia. Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State, goes to New Orleans at 14. Anyway, that's my long-winded way of saying that the Bears were fortunate that Rome Odunze fell to them, and we can thank the Atlanta Falcons and Michael Penix Jr. for that. A lot of thank yous for our show today. Thanks to our guests, Mark Rohde, LeVar Woods, the special teams coach at Iowa. We also talked to Brian Griffin, the head coach at Hinsdale Central. Our thanks to all of the callers and texters. We really appreciate it. We've had a ton of fun doing this. And thanks especially to Sean Sears, our fantastic producer, for putting this all together. Appreciate that, Sean. Coming up later today on The Score at 5:35, we will have Cubs pregame for you. Cubs and Red Sox are the night game today. Matt Spiegel has your pregame at 5:35 and followed by Cubs and Red Sox with Zach and Ron. Infinity Sports Network is next. It's been a pleasure talking Chicago Bears football with you. I'm Mike Esposito. We'll talk to you soon here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.